It is Thursday, November 12th, 2009. I am Bill, and this is Where Icarus Flies. Well, it's only my third podcast, and already we are late this week. It was the Veterans Day holiday yesterday, and both of my two boys were home, and so was my wife. And I don't know about you, but when my two boys are home, there's such a racket in the house that a podcast was just not going to be created yesterday. So I hope to make up for it to you today. What do we have on tap? Well, this was a great week. I grew up in the East. I grew up in the Boston area. Yes, that makes me a Red Sox and a Patriots fan. And for those of you Yankee lovers out there, you got the best of me this year. You sure did. Anyway, I grew up a Bruins fan. And my goal in life when I was 16 to 21 was to watch, either be at or watch every single Boston Bruins hockey game there was in a season. I came close. There was a couple of seasons that I only missed like three or four games. The most I've ever been to, non-season ticket holding in a season, was 26 games, and I thought that was very impressive. So, I love hockey. I'm out here in California now. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I still, you know, love my Boston teams. I still love the Bruins, but we are also big-time San Jose Sharks fans out here. So that is very exciting. Well, my youngest boy, it was time to bring him to his first hockey game. He is 7 now. So we brought him to the Sharks game the other night. It was a great, great game. They played the Nashville Predators. I'm going to tell you all about it coming up. So I'm going to talk about that first Sharks game. I want to also talk today about the new ABC series V, the V reboot. I wrote a review on WhereIcarusFlies.com the other day. I do want to talk about V. I also want to talk about no tolerance policies and specifically how they apply to our school systems. So I want to get that topic out there today. We're going to have a guest reporter today. We're going to have something called the Hoover Report. So stick around for that. That should be a lot of fun. We're going to do a little Masterworks Theater, and then we're going to wrap up the show. So that is what is on tap today for Where Icarus Flies. Let me tell you the story about a boy and his first hockey game. That is the story of the other night when the San Jose Sharks took on the Nashville Predators here in San Jose. My youngest son had never been to a professional hockey game. My older son I've taken a couple of times. He's been to see the Bruins in Boston. He's been to see the Sharks. They're very excited over hockey. Last year for Christmas, I did get them both Sharks shirts. My older son has a Joe Thornton shirt, and my younger son has a Jonathan Chichu shirt, and they are very, very excited. Even though Chichu has been traded, my younger son is still very excited over his Sharks jersey. So we had San Jose Sharks Scout Night the other night when they encourage scouts, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, that includes the Cub Scouts, to come. And I got to tell you, they did a wonderful job. We had very decent seats. We were in the upper deck, and we were behind the net that the Sharks protected for two of the three periods. And these were $43 tickets face value, and we got them for $26 a piece. And they also included a patch. Now, if you know anything about, you know, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, you know that it's all about patches and beads and uniform bling. So getting a patch is way, way cool. So we got a patch and the game for $26, well under face value. So I really got to give a shout out to the San Jose Sharks organization for taking part in such a wonderful night. And I do know that they have three or four scout nights throughout the season. And these are not the San Jose Sharks of yesteryear who were at the bottom of the barrel. These are the San Jose Sharks of today, who are a very, very good team, one of the top tier teams in the NHL. So getting tickets can be quite a chore. So that is such a wonderful thing that we're able to do that. And it worked out really well that Wednesday was Veterans Day. And I want to give a shout out and a thank you to all our veterans for keeping our country safe and allowing folks like me to actually sit here and record this podcast. So Veterans Day we had off. Tuesday night was the game, so it was a perfect night to let the kids stay up late to take them to a hockey game, because hockey games, you know, the NHL games start usually about 7:30. So by the time they're over, we're getting close to 10 o'clock. And my two boys, I've got a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, their bedtime's 8 o'clock. Now, they don't always get to sleep at 8, but we get them moving at 8 o'clock, and usually they're asleep between 8 and 8:30. Not always, but that's how it works out most of the time. So keeping them up late wasn't a big deal. So it was a perfect set of events. We went with my brother-in-law, who is also a big Sharks fan. My wife's family pretty much grew up in Illinois, so they're big Chicago Blackhawks, Cubs fans, and such, you know, the Bears. But my brother-in-law, actually both of my brother-in-laws, have really converted to Sharks fans. I'm sure that they, like me, you know, my home Boston Bruins team is still dear to my heart, and I still root for them. But the Sharks are just a wonderful team. And I've enjoyed the Sharks even when they were crummy. I mean, I'm used to rooting for crummy teams. My New England Patriots are doing well right now, but when I was a youngster growing up, we had many seasons of 1-win, 2-win, 3-win, really crummy teams, but they were still fun to watch. So, you know, moving out here and watching the Sharks evolve has been wonderful. So my sons and I and my brother-in-law went to the game the other night, and it's just an amazing thing to look at a child and when they are excited about something and so happy about something, and to see just the pure joy on their face. So my son was wearing a Sharks jersey. I mean, both of them were, but my young son all day was wearing the Sharks jersey, and he was so excited about going to his first game. And we get there and I give him his ticket. When I had parked, you know, we got there pretty early. We got there about an hour before the game time because I wanted to give him time to walk around and see the arena. And so I could have parked a lot closer, but I parked down the block a little bit. So we had a little bit of a walk. It wasn't too far, but we had a little bit of a walk. So to build that anticipation, right? It's you know, it's nighttime. It's the fall now. It's, you know, about 6:30, 6:45 when we get there. And so it's dark out, the lights of the city. Now, San Jose does not have an impressive skyline, but downtown near the arena is not bad. So we're walking up, you see the arena all lit up, and you can just see the joy on his face. You know, we're walking with other Sharks fans, and I give him his ticket so he can walk up and hand it to the ticket taker himself. And he was just, you know, he just had this such a proud look on his face as he gives the ticket and we walk in. And so we did a little touring around of the arena, showed him where our seats were going to be. We went down and got some snacks, you know, some popcorn and pretzels and such. And then we went up to our seats, and he's just taking it all in. And we're watching warm-ups, and he's, you know, trying to find the players that he knows. And he knows maybe about three, maybe four players and their numbers. So he's trying to find them and watching them. And the Sharks, it was alternate jersey night, so they're wearing their black jerseys. So they have the away whites, the home teal-ish. And not the pure teal that they had, you know, back when I had my first Sharks jersey. And then they have the alternate black jersey, which is kind of cool. So it was an alternate jersey night, so he thought that was even more special, right? That they're wearing these cool black jerseys. So he was just so excited. The game's going on, and he's sitting on my lap for the first period, my young son, and I'm telling him the rules, and I'm explaining things like the blue line and icing, and he's really picking it up. And he's very excited, and he's waiting and waiting because I was telling him about when the Sharks get a power play. You know, they play the theme from Jaws, and everybody does the Sharks chomp. So to do the chomp, I need you to take both of your hands. And I know if you're not a Sharks fan or a sports fan, forget about the team and reach down into your inner seven-year-old right now. And really, so close your eyes, stick your hands straight out. Now take, doesn't matter which one, your left or right hand. I'm going to use my right hand and turn them so they're going, they're parallel to one another. And one palm is up and one palm is down. Now take your fingers and make them into kind of some teeth looking. So now when I open and close my arms, right, it looks like a big mouth with teeth. So they're playing the Jaws theme, and everybody, so do me the chomp, right? Dun-dun, 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 right? So everybody's doing the chomp. It's the whole arena, and as I said, it doesn't matter whether you like sports or the Sharks or not. Do this right now with your eyes closed and think of it for a seven-year-old. And he was just ecstatic. So he's waiting for that, and we waited like two periods. The Sharks didn't get a power play until the third period, but they finally got a power play, so he was able to do the chomp. So he was so excited about that. And then I also told him about four goals. If the Sharks score four, Round Table Pizza, one of the local pizza places around here, will give you some free pizza. Four in the net and pizza you get. So they were so excited that the Sharks got four goals. So they've been bugging me all week. When are we going to go get our pizza? And it was a back-and-forth game, and the Sharks won it 4-3 in the last minute. Dan Boyle scored with a minute left, and it was right in front of us, pretty much. So it was just very, very exciting. And we had a wonderful time. They have this crazy ice cream. I know they have it all over the country. It's called Dippin' Dots. And if you haven't had Dippin' Dots, they basically take little balls of ice cream and they flash freeze them, right? And so the ice cream is just these little balls. And we went up and found the Dippin' Dots place. And we had cookies and cream. And then my young son had this rainbow color. He loves the rainbow. So we had pretzels, popcorn, Dippin' Dots. Saw his first game. The home team won. He got to do the chomp. I mean, this is exciting, exciting stuff right here. So that was a wonderful experience. I don't remember the first hockey game that I ever went to, and I know my young son won't remember this one eventually, but at least these days, we have all kinds of pictures and such, right, that we didn't have back then. I mean, it's so easy to take the digital pictures right now. So let me end this segment by letting my son take it away, my older son. So Sharks win. It was a great time, and the joy on their faces was just priceless. I want to spend a few minutes talking about the new V series on ABC. Now, this is not just a remake of the original miniseries or the original TV series. This is a reinvention. A lot of people calling it a reboot. They've taken the V storyline from before and they're kind of reinventing it and making some different choices. So the original V miniseries, the two-part miniseries in 1983, it was a little campy, sure, especially looking back now, but I thought it was really well done. It was well acted and well written at the time. I mean, it wasn't going to win any major awards for those actors, don't get me wrong. But I thought it was well done, and for the time, it did very, very well. It had a 25.4 Nielsen rating, which equates to probably about 40 million viewers or so. So that's not bad. So it did well enough that they made a second miniseries, a three-part miniseries called V the Final Battle. And it also spawned a TV series back in 1984-1985. Now that TV series was pretty much panned by most. I enjoyed it. I mean, I really liked all of the V stuff. I thought the series, you could say that V had jumped the shark by then, but I did enjoy it. In fact, it was a shock to the producers that the entire thing was canceled back then because they hadn't planned for it to end. In fact, the first season ended in a pretty hairy cliffhanger, which ultimately never was resolved because it wasn't back on the show. So ABC has taken that and tried to reinvent it. And I wrote an article, a review on WhereIcarusFlies.com. You can go take a look at that. So I'm not going to rehash that whole thing now because you can read up on it. But just a couple of quick thoughts before I move on to my main topic of the broadcast. And that is, you know, I really beat up on the pilot episode of V the Reboot. And I don't think I was unfair. I think one of my friends I quoted in the article said it really well. He said, "I don't know how I'm going to wash the stink off my TV after watching that." And another friend of mine I thought really hit it right on the head when he said, "Really, what happened is they just rushed from plot point to plot point. And, you know, be damned with the storyline, right? Just get us to the good stuff." And, you know, that just didn't work. What I don't understand with this series so far is I don't understand why they're not taking their time. I mean, they don't have to lollygag, but this isn't a miniseries. This is a weekly drama. So they have time to come up with a storyline that unfolds before us. They don't just have to suddenly, you know, run through the first couple of miniseries in a few episodes and then take it from there. Why not just start fresh, reinvent it, and let it build before us? They cast some decent actors in this series, but I was very disappointed by pretty much almost all of their performances in the pilot episode, and it's probably not all their fault. It's probably mostly the writing and the pacing and the directing of that episode. So I was very disappointed with it, and I gave it 1.5 sets of wings. Now, the extra half set of wings was probably generous. Now, I had to have my expectations reset as well. Another friend of mine said, you know, if you look at a lot of pilots out there, the pilot is a lot of times a lot different from the series. You know, the pilot is filmed differently normally. There's a different goal for the pilot. So there's a lot they're trying to do with it. Okay, maybe I can give him that. So his point was, look at a lot of great shows out there and you look back at the pilot and you cringe. I said, okay, that's fair. I do agree with that. And some shows also just need time. Right? I am a science fiction fanatic. Love it. I am a Star Trek fan. I always have been. Grew up watching the original series with my mom. It was just wonderful. And you know, I love everything Star Trek. And I have to say, The Next Generation, Star Trek The Next Generation came out. I was very excited for it. And I enjoyed it. But let's face it, that first season was, for the most part, garbage. Recycled plots, very, very poor writing, some of the cheesiest special effects you had ever seen. I mean, there was some decent stuff, but they didn't have a lot of money. I mean, to be fair with them, they did not have a lot of money. They couldn't even afford to build a shuttlecraft set until the second season. So they were on a shoestring budget. So you got to hand it to them. But unfortunately, some of those episodes are horrific. But the actors were good, and they pulled off their parts. So I don't think that we're in a place in TV land these days where, unfortunately, you can give a show a chance. You gotta give us the full Monty right up front, or very few times will a network stick with the show. A lot easier to do on cable. So we watched after the Sharks game, after we got home and I put the kids to bed, my brother-in-law and I sat and we watched the second episode of V. And I gotta tell you, I enjoyed it a lot more than I enjoyed the first one. I still think it was not that great of an episode, don't get me wrong. I give the second episode 2.5 sets of wings out of 5. It was, you know, very, very opposite of the first episode. The first episode, we were just rushing from plot point to plot point, and, you know, we had to get to the action, you know? Just nothing but money shots, right? Well, that is exactly the opposite in the second. The second one was all about the storyline, and there was very little action, so it was very, very slow. Now, I like the plot. You know, not just a V, but, you know, I'm a plot guy. I like the writing. So, you know, I enjoyed that episode. I thought it was a lot better direction than the first. Now, if they could just combine some decent plot with some decent action, and I'm told by a few of the reviewers that I've read out there that this third episode coming up next week should combine both of those. We'll see. I mean, the jury's still out on this series. I really do want to like it. I'm trying hard to like it, but so far it has been monumentally disappointing. So, I'll check back in with you and give you my thoughts on V in another few weeks and see how it goes. Until then, check out my review on whereIcarusFlies.com. My main topic for discussion this week is zero tolerance policies. I'll throw it right out there. I can't stand them. I think they're no good. I think that I have no tolerance. I have zero tolerance for zero tolerance policies. I do not think that they are worth what they're doing to our youth. Now, the fact that I don't like zero tolerance policies does not mean that I am an advocate of violence, of drugs, of weapons, or anything of the like. What happens here is zero tolerance policies tie our hands. They tie the hands of administrations and school systems and have to give out blanket punishments that are serving no purpose whatsoever. I can give a couple of great examples in just the last couple of months. This is why I brought this topic up today. A 17-year-old in upstate New York, his name is Matthew Whalen. He's a senior at Lansingburg Senior High School. He also happens to be an Eagle Scout, and he's hoping to go to West Point, and he's taken Army basic training. From all reports, and now I don't know the kid, I'm not up there, right? I don't know the neighborhood or the families, but for everything that I have read, This is an upstanding member of the community. And he was suspended for 15 days, or I think it might have even been 20 days. 20 days total. He got a 5-day suspension, then an additional 15-day suspension. Why? He had a knife at school. Okay, that sentence sounds very shocking, and we need to look into that further. What happened? Well, this Eagle Scout, this boy who wants to be in the Army, has set up his car as a survival vehicle. He has a sleeping bag in there, MREs, he has first aid kit, and part of his survival kit is a knife. No, this is not some giant Bowie knife or locked blade, you know, fixed blade thing that you'd see Rambo with. He had a 2-inch knife. I mean, this is an itty-bitty thing. Could it cause damage? Of course. Can you use it as a weapon? Of course. But it was tucked away in his emergency kit in his locked car, which he did not have access to. A student apparently reported him for having a knife, and the school officials wisely pulled him aside. Do you have a knife? Well, you know, on me, no. Do I have a knife? I'm an Eagle Scout. I want to be in the Army. I have one in my car. Yeah, so he took them out to his car, and they suspended him for 5 days for having that in his survival kit. Now, I have a knife in my first aid kit as well. Every car should have some sort of knife in their first aid kit. Every first aid kit should have a knife. No, not some giant thing, but, you know, a little knife. You never know what you might need to cut. Rope, band-aids, whatever. And he gets suspended for 5 days, and at his hearing, he gets tacked on an additional 15 days. Because why? They have zero tolerance for weapons. Now, I understand, especially, right, in the wake of some of the most brutal, just brutal events that we've had in this country, Columbine being top of the list. We've had some awful things happen in our nation's schools. So I'm not saying that something doesn't need to be done about school violence, about weapons, about drugs. What I'm saying is zero tolerance policies need to be thrown out, because there are those out there that think without a zero tolerance policy, well, we're just going to be weak. We can't be strong without it. Now, does a person's reputation, does their record, does their standing in the community, should that be taken into consideration? I think so. Yes, I do. Does it need to be everything in the consideration? No, of course not. We also look at intent. We also look at the weapon. We also look at a lot of other factors. Take it all together and let's make the right decision, not just a decision to say we made one. They tacked on the extra 15 days because they wanted to make sure that their school policies were delivered consistently, and they didn't want someone else who had a knife thinking they could get away with it. I mean, come on. Another example, Zachary Christie, a 6-year-old Cub Scout in Delaware, was sentenced to 45 days in the district's reform school. Why? Because he brought a dangerous weapon to school grounds. So he's a Cub Scout. He's very excited about being a Cub Scout. So he was given a pocket knife. And it wasn't just a pocket knife. Really, it was one of those utility knives. And I had one as a scout that had the spoon and the fork and the knife on there. And it had some other things, right? Screwdriver and who knows what else. I'm sure it had toothpick and whatnot. Now, I'm a Cub Master. And I am an Eagle Scout. And I've earned my Arrow of Light. And I have over 20 years in scouting. And this is my 3rd year as Cub Master in my son's pack, and I know the guide to safe scouting, and I do know that no, the Boy Scouts of America does not approve. You cannot have a knife as a 6-year-old scout. So as a 6-year-old, I'm assuming he's in first grade, and that makes him a Tiger Cub. The Cub Scouts do have a program for you to learn knife safety, and that happens when you're a Bear Scout, when you're a third grader. So he should not have had a knife. But he didn't look at this as a knife. He looked at this as his utensils. And on camping trips and other things, he would use these utensils, the fork, the spoon, the knife. His parents said he used them at home all the time. He was so excited over this thing. He had it in his backpack and he brought it to school and it fell out. A teacher saw it and zero tolerance. The zero tolerance policy said 45 days. They could not take into consideration the events, the intent, the boy himself who had no record of violence or misbehaving. They just had to slap him with the 45 days. This is egregious. This should not happen. Should he have had the knife at school? No, that was a bad choice. My point is, why not take this as a teaching moment? Let's teach the boy something. Let's teach others something. Compassion is a gift and it can be used wisely. We don't have to just punish for punishment's sake. Let's make the right decisions and use these as teaching moments. If this was the seventh time he did that, we have to have a different conversation. If this is the second or third time he mistakenly brought it, we have to have a different conversation. But this is the first time a six-year-old brings it. Now, we could get into all sorts of other conversations, right? I already told you that as a tiger cub, as a six-year-old, he should not have that at all, right? And his den leaders and his parents need to take responsibility as well. But that doesn't mean we punish the kid because of that with 45 days. He is 6 years old. They make mistakes. Matthew Whalen is a 17-year-old boy, just about to be a man. That's a different situation for him, although I think that zero tolerance policies also hurt him. We could have also taken that as a teaching moment. Now, the only decent argument I have heard is that zero tolerance policies level the playing field. So, for those that are a minority student, many studies have shown that minorities don't get the same kind of fair shake as the white kids do. And I'm not just talking about black students. We could be talking about Hispanic or some other minority student for ethnicity, race, what have you. So I understand that. I really do. And that argument does resonate with me because if folks aren't going to get a fair shake, zero tolerance policies level the playing field, right? Doesn't matter if you're white, if you're Asian, if you're black, what your religion is, everybody gets the same punishment. Well, that's the problem here. It's punishment. You know, zero tolerance policies are not going to save us from the next Columbine. I'm sorry. The crazy folks that are going to do stuff like that are not going to be deterred by zero tolerance policies. Now, again, I'm not saying that we should have tolerance for violence or drugs or dangerous weapons. But let's not tie our hands with zero tolerance policies. They need to be thrown out. They're not helpful and they don't work. That's my opinion. I'd love to hear what you have to say on the topic. Leave a comment on the blog. You can send me email to feedback@whereicarusflies.com. I would love to hear what you're thinking. I would love to read some listeners' emails on the next podcast or on future podcasts. So, I'm not for zero tolerance policies. I think I've given a couple of great examples of why they don't work, and I'm sure we could dig up hundreds more. I'm sure that you, if on the other side, can deluge me with times that some violent student was rightly punished with a zero tolerance policies. And my rebuttal to that would be that we don't need a zero tolerance policy to still punish the wrongdoers, to still make the right decisions, to still keep drugs out of our schools, try to keep drugs out of our schools, try to keep weapons out of our schools. We don't need zero tolerance policies to do that. We do need to be able to make the right decisions. It's time now for a special segment of Where Icarus Flies. We have a special guest coming on today to give us something called the Hoover Report. Hey, Joey, you out there? Come on in.
Hey, what up?
Hey, go ahead. Take a seat.
Hey,
thanks for coming in today.
Man, not a problem. Thanks for having me in here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We've been friends for a long time, and I know that you have a lot to say. So, let me have you introduce your segment.
Sure, no problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Joey Hoover.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show today. I know we've been friends a long time, but you never let me near your microphone. So, I'm really excited about today. I'm so excited, I don't even know how I sound.
You sound good.
A little crazy.
No. You sound good. You're okay. Keep going.
Okay. The Hoover Report. This is where I'm gonna tell you about some things out there happening in the world, and, they suck. The Hoover Report, they suck.
Yeah, I think they got it, Joey. Go ahead, go on.
Yeah, the Heens.
The Heeny.
Whatever. The Balloon Boy. Yeah, the Balloon Family. That whole balloon thing? That sucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched that. I was all taken up in that, and the fact that it's a hoax,
that was
awful.
Bates, whose segment is this?
Yours.
Shut up.
All right, fine. Keep going.
All right. Yeah, I know this happened a little while ago, but I just saw Taylor Swift on Saturday Night Live the other night.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought she was pretty good. That whole Kanye West thing, yeah, that sucks. Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he makes a Hoover Report this week, too.
I agree.
And you know what else?
What?
Yeah, I'll tell you what else.
Okay.
Dental floss.
What about it?
Why do you have to screw with it? Dental floss was fine the way it was. They got these little holders now. And look like little mini bow and arrows. What's up with that, huh? Come on. They break. They get caught. Those newfangled dental floss. That sucks. Why, you laugh. But, I can't stand those things.
Okay.
Now, I got a couple more.
All right, go ahead.
Starbucks?
Yeah.
Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks.
Yeah, coffee place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
they've been around for a long time now.
Uh-huh.
Well, the lids they use, come on. What's up with those?
What?
Well, look at Dunkin' Donuts. Now, they put some time and effort into coming up with a good lid to drink your coffee from. These Starbucks ones.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
What?
That sucks. All right, finally, I'm going to make myself... We're going to do a little future prediction.
All right.
Right now.
Okay.
And so, you ready for it?
I'm ready.
You ready?
Just do it!
All right. Here it comes. Well, that movie, 2012,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I do.
It's coming out tomorrow.
Yes.
It's that kid that held the boombox over his head, right?
Yes. And say anything.
Yeah, that's the one. Anyway... He's in this movie, 2012,
yep.
and Maya, she predicted something.
Maya? Who's Maya? It's the Ooh. Mayans.
Mayans. Who's she? What? Oh, Maya. All right, whatever.
What's wrong with you?
Well, 2012 is coming out, and it's one of those end-of-the-world flicks. Here's my Hoover prediction.
Let's hear it.
It's gonna suck. Huh? Oh, yeah. It's gonna suck. So that is the Hoover Report for this week.
All right.
All things that suck.
All right. Great work. Thank you for coming.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Not a problem.
I'm going to go out for a little bit. I'll see you a little later.
All right, I'll see you later. All right, everybody. That was Joey Hoover and the Hoover Report. It's time now for the Masterworks Theater segment of the show as we head towards wrapping things up for this week. I'm going to reach back into my volume here, the Norton Anthology of Poetry, 3rd edition, one of my favorite books from college. And I told you on my first show when I read a selection from this book, it was The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, one of my favorite poems of all time. I told you that it was easily in my top 3 poems of all time. This poem that I've chosen today is also in my top 3 poems of all time. This is Dylan Thomas, and it is the iconic Do Not Go Gently Into That Good Night. So, without further ado, here is Masterworks Theater. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learn too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death, who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could not blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Well, that's the podcast for this week. Thank you for joining me. A big thanks to my buddy Joey Hoover for stopping by. If you have any comments, again, I would love to hear them. You can leave your comments on the blog or send feedback directly to me at feedback@whereicarusflies.com. Please check out the website, whereicarusflies.com. I have some other reviews on there. I'll be posting more stuff this week until next week's podcast. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is whereif. If you go to the website, you'll be able to find a link to my Twitter account, so it's real easy to follow. So, as always, I'm Bill. Thanks for joining me, and this has been Where Icarus Flies. WhereIcarusFlies.com provides this podcast for your personal enjoyment, information, education, and communication. This podcast is copyright 2009 by WhereIcarusFlies.com. You may not distribute, modify, transmit, reuse, repost, or use the content of this podcast for commercial purposes without expressed written permission of whereicarusflies.com. Requests for permission to republish or to copy and distribute can be obtained by sending an email to media@whereicarusflies.com. Thank you, and have a great day.